Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
And we are back with another movie in our blockbuster series. I am doing Forrest Gump today. I'm excited to preach on this character. For those of you who don't know much about the movie, Tom Hanks plays a man by the name of Forrest Gump, who's got some challenges, to say the least. He's got some intellectual challenges and some physical challenges, but he never considered himself disadvantaged. You know, he's got an amazing mom by the name of Sally Field, is the actress that plays her. And, well, he affectionately calls her Mama. And she just really helps him to grow up and know that he's no different from anybody else and that he's got to be excellent with all he does. And I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, y'all. It came out in 1994. But when I watched it again, I was surprised by how good it still was. You know, I laughed, I cried, my husband cried, you know, it was a whole thing. And I realized, man, there's a lot I could preach about in this movie. I could talk about his mama, okay, played by Sally Field, as I mentioned. She was so patient with him. She explained things to him with deep conviction, but in a way that he could understand. She drilled in him, you will be excellent. You must be excellent. And there is nothing that you can't do. You know, I could talk about the way that he strived for excellence. I mean, Forrest Gump was a war hero. He was a football champion. He was a ping pong champion. He won the Medal of Honor in the Army, which was awarded to those that were the bravest, you know, and he got to meet presidents. He was a successful entrepreneur. He ran across the nation, like, for no reason, and people started following him. He just had this childlike optimism that was so amazing, so much I could talk about. But today I want to focus on relationships and friendships, because Forrest Gump was a good dude. He was a good friend, and we're going to get to see that lived out here in just a few minutes. Now, relationships and friendships in general can be complicated. Can I get an amen with that? I mean, it can be hard to determine how we feel about them, because in the one sense, they're exciting, they're fun, they're encouraging. But on the other hand, they can be painful and frustrating and annoying, especially now that we're in a pandemic, boy. It's like, it was hard before, but it's like a little uber hard now, because we were like reclusive for a little while and now we're trying to come back out, and we used to doing things independently. And so, you know, there's all these new challenges that have come. You know, I thought I would go to the people, aka Facebook, and figure out what are some challenges that we can face in relationships. And here's some of the comments that I got. Friendship challenges. Number one, consistency. Man, it's hard to be consistent. You could be like real good, and then like months pass by and then nothing else happens. Or what about friendships where you're mutually helping each other, mutually encouraging each other? Sometimes we feel like they're so one-sided. You know, what about having time? If you're a mom, or we're into our career, or, you know, just we got things going on, we feel like we don't have time. One brother wrote, you know, people allowing their political and social views to define their friendships. So if we don't think the same way, if we don't have the same, like, you know, I don't know, a thought about a way that something should be done in society, we can't be friends. And sometimes that goes in the middle of these friendships. Sometimes we just hold on to friendships because we've been holding on to the same people all these years, okay? Sometimes we don't know how to navigate conflict. We're real good friends, and then something happens, and now we're not friends no more. You know, one brother wrote, you know, people believing the unhealthy coping mechanisms they developed over the years are a normal part of themselves and everyone else's burdens to accept. Woo! So it's that, this is who I am, this is how I be, deal with it or get out my life. And yeah, we should all like love each other for who we are, but we all constantly want to grow. You know, what about for you? What are the patterns in your friendships? Okay. when you have challenges, it can't always be the other person's fault. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be, we got to take some accountability, because I'm sure you have been guilty of one or more of these things at some point in your friendship. You know, not to mention we have cultural challenges. We're at this stage where women don't like women. Like, when did that happen? We're at the stage where there's pettiness happening among friendships. With men, you know, there's this challenge of going deep and actually making the time to have men in your lives and go deep in friendships. You know, sometimes we make others responsible for our happiness. Like, you need to make me happy, right? And then now even we've got this independence happening in our culture versus a community thinking. Like, I don't need nobody else. I don't need friendships. And this was never how friendship was designed to be. Y'all, we get to look at the OGs of friendship. We got God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, okay? We get to take notes from the OGs. But if we're going to beat the odds, if we're going to change the cycle, we've got to learn some new methods. If we're going to have great friendships, we've got to learn how to be a great friend. And that means we got to start with thyself, okay? We got to know, what kind of friend are we? The good, the bad, and the ugly, okay? There's some good stuff we do. Yeah, like, you're that person you can count on. You'll help them move, you'll call, whatever. But what's the bad and the ugly stuff that we got to work on as well? You know, for me, I would love to say that I'm a great friend all the time. I mean, I would love to stand here and say that. But I think the older I get, okay, it don't matter that I'm 40. It don't matter that I've been a Christian for over 20 years. I have challenges when it comes to friendships, and I still have so much to learn. Why? Because at my core, I struggle with pride and selfishness. And pride and selfishness don't really work very well in friendship. Okay, can I get an amen about that, right? But in our culture, pride and selfishness can intertwine itself into our relationships and have us thinking about me more than we think about us. Have us thinking about ourselves more than how will this impact somebody else. But thankfully, we have the word of the Lord that can help us so we can develop some new healthy dynamics in our relationships. And I want to go back to my boy Forrest Gump and talk about some of the things that we can learn from his relationships that are very biblical that we can tie into our own. Okay, y'all with me? Number one, when we think about what is going to be required in a healthy relationship, friendship requires love. Can y'all say it with me? Friendship requires love. Yes. In John chapter 15, verse 12, John chapter 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." In friendship, you have got to love with your whole heart. You have got to put others' needs before yourself. Now, sometimes and oftentimes, they can be one-sided in relationships. My challenge to us is to make sure you're not the taker in your relationships. Make sure you're the giver in relationships. Make sure you call. Make sure you encourage. Make sure you give a card. Make sure you ask how you're doing. Make sure you're there during life events. You know, oftentimes we rely on our definition of love in our relationships, and that can be a recipe for disaster. And that took me back to when I was in high school, y'all. I remember my boyfriend in high school, and he was like, "Do you love me?" I was like, "Yeah, I love you." And he was like, "What does that mean?" I literally went to Webster's Dictionary, and I looked up the definition of love, and I was like, "You know, I love, you know, this is how I feel about you." And that, listen, I didn't even know what I was talking about. But thankfully, we have the Bible that can help us learn the very definition of love. And you know that 1 Corinthians 13 definition. Come on, say it with me. 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 4, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud. It's not rude. It does not demand its own way. We can have a whole sermon just on that. It's not irritable, keeps no record of wrongs, does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Now, starting relationships is one thing. Learning how to keep them is another. And these are the things that we're going to need if we want to keep friendships, right? We're going to have to be patient, kind, not rude, not irritable, even when we had a bad day, even when somebody gets on our nerves. We're going to have to learn how to endure through every circumstance, because at the heart of friendship is doing life together with somebody. And you can't stay doing life together with somebody if you don't love. We're going to need all of these traits, okay? And we're going to need to follow the number one lover in the world, which was Jesus, who lived a life of love to everyone. But he only had so much time in his day, right? And he had to find the group of people that God wanted him to invest in. And before he picked his crew, y'all, he prayed all night. God, who do you want me to invest in? Who gets my time? And guess what he came out of that with? 12 dudes and 3 that he really needed to focus on. And those were his best friends that he focused on the most. Who does God want you to be consistent with? Who does God want you to make time for? You can't call everybody. You can't be there at every life event for everybody. But who does God want you to invest in? You know, who has been around for years and it's probably time for them to get less of your time? And who may be new and it's time for them to get more of your time? Maybe in the past you picked your friends, okay? It was like, yeah, we have a good time together. Or yeah, we like, I don't know, the same clothes or the same people, whatever. But how did that work out for you? You know, sometimes it works good, but most of the time it's a cycle of how did I end up with these same people? We gotta change the cycle. We gotta let God determine who those people should be. And we've gotta let him teach us about love. You know, I was listening to a podcast about that Joyce Meyer was giving, and she said the Bible is really about 3 relationships. Number 1 is you and God, most important. Number 2, it's you and others. And lastly, it's you and yourself. And if you can't love yourself or get along with yourself, you're probably not going to be able to love other people and get along with other people. And I love that point because it's just a reiteration that God has got to teach us how to love. And we got to ask God, teach me how to love you. Teach me how to love myself, God, and what that looks like. And teach me how to love others. You can't pour into others what you don't have to give. And thus, we got to get that from God. You know, back to Forrest, in the movie, he becomes best friends with a dude named Bubba. Okay, now Bubba was from the Bayou, and they were on their way to camp. He had joined the army, and Bubba basically talked about one thing. He said, my name is Bubba, nice to meet you, and now I'm going to talk to you about the million ways to eat shrimp, okay? I have a good idea that Forrest really didn't care about shrimp. He didn't ask what would 100 ways to make shrimp, but he listened to his boy and they became fast friends. And, you know, I want to show you a little clip that kind of sums up their friendship.
One day it started raining and it didn't quit for 4 months. We've been through every kind of rain there is. A little bit of stinging rain, and big old fat rain. Rain that flew in sideways. And sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up from underneath. Shoot, it even rained at night.
Hey, Forrest.
Hey, Bubba.
I'm gonna lean up against you. You just lean right back against me. This way we don't have to sleep with our heads in the mud. You know why we a good partnership, Forrest? Because we be watching out for one another, like brothers and stuff. Hey, Forrest, something I've been thinking about. I got a very important question to ask you. How would you like to go into the shrimping business with me?
Okay.
Man, I tell you what, I got it all figured out, too. so many pounds of shrimp to pay off the boat, so many pounds for gas. We can just live right on the boat. We ain't got to pay no rent. I'll be the captain. We can just work it together, split everything right down the middle. Man, I'm telling you, 50-50. And hey, Forrest, all the shrimp you can eat.
That's a fine idea. Bubba did have a fine idea.
I love this clip, man. What a good summary of their friendship. At this time, it had been 4 months of pouring rain. They're in Vietnam. And Bubba gets to share about why he's so grateful for his friendship with Forrest, that they get to be there for each other. And isn't that one of the sweetest gifts of friendship, that you can literally go through storms together, that you can celebrate victories together? You know, Forrest gave Bubba this gift of listening. Okay, about shrimp, but just listening to Bubba. And I love how ultimately in that giving, that spawned a whole company for Forrest. And so he had the mindset of giving in that relationship, and God blessed it. You get to see it blessed when he gets to launch this entire company. Like, we never know how giving in our friendships is ultimately going to bless not just that friendship, but may bless our future. I love how in this clip you can see Bubba invites Forrest into his passion, into his dream. He's been talking about shrimp nonstop. He wants to start this company. And he said, you know what, Forrest? What do you think about you doing it with me? 50-50. We'll split it. I want to invite you into my passion. He shared his life with him. Do we do that in our friendships? Do we invite our friends into things that we are passionate about? That's what Jesus did for us. In Matthew 28, verse 18, after he had lived, he had died, he had rose again, he said, look, I've been given all authority now. I want you to go with me and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. He gave them this vision for his passion. He invited us in to be a part of it. Who do you include in that? Are you joining Jesus in his passion? You know, John 13, verse 34 through 35 is always that scripture that brings it home for me with love. A new commandment I give you, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Not just in friendship is it important, but we cannot call ourselves a follower of Jesus if we don't love. And when we don't love, that shows that we are not followers of Jesus. So we've got to make it an essential part of our life. So friendship requires love. Number two, y'all with me? Number two, friendship requires forgiveness. Woo, child. Friendship requires forgiveness. So we're going to look at relationship number two with Forrest, and that is Lieutenant Dan. Yeah, don't y'all just like saying that? Lieutenant Dan. He was the commanding officer assigned to Forrest and Bubba when they got to Vietnam. That's how Forrest says it. And when they meet, you learn that Lieutenant Dan is kind of like a part of a long line of soldiers in his family. And like he's here to like make his mark in history. And Forrest really respects him and looks up to them, to him. But unfortunately, Lieutenant Dan, he goes through a rough patch. You know, Forrest saves his life, and Lieutenant Dan is really struggling with it. Take a look at this clip.
Look at me. You see that? Do you know what it's like not to be able to use your legs?
Well, yes, sir, I do.
Did you hear what I said? You cheated me. I had a destiny. I was supposed to die in the field with honor. That was my destiny, and you cheated me out of it.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Gump? This wasn't supposed to happen. Not to me. I had a destiny. I was Lieutenant Dan Taylor.
Y- You're still Lieutenant Dan.
Look at me. What am I gonna do now? What am I gonna do now?
Man, this clip with Lieutenant Dan is intense. You can really see his struggle. You know, he was a part of a long line of men in his family that had died in every single war. And so when Forrest saved him, he felt cheated. He didn't know what to do, and he was struggling because a part of his plan was to die in that war. You know, he was really angry with Forrest. As you can see, he was struggling. And this was their last interaction. You know, Lieutenant Dan ends up leaving the hospital, and Forrest doesn't hear from him for a while until Forrest is given that Medal of Honor, and Lieutenant Dan shows up a hot mess and is like kind of salty about it. They gave you the medal, you know, just this feeling of he felt like he was supposed to get it, and he just perplexed that Forrest would get this medal. But I love it because Forrest in the movie makes time to sit with his friend. And when I reflected on this, I'm like, Forrest, how you just forgive him that quickly? Don't you remember how angry he was? He never said thank you. There was no apology. Like, how did you forgive so quickly? And I know we've all been there, right? Where we've had a friend that has wronged us, that owes us, that didn't show gratitude. And you know, oh, you should forgive them, right? Like, you know it. You know they have power over you. You know when you don't forgive that it's toxic. You know all of the things, but you don't care. You're like, I don't care. That dude or that sister messed me up and I'm not happy about it. For me, I'm not necessarily a confrontational person, so I don't struggle with like having an outburst with that person I need to forgive. But I do kind of like have arguments in my head with them. And that's how I know when I'm still haven't forgiven somebody, because I keep rehearsing the same arguments over and over again. And for me, it's impossible to forgive somebody without the Bible. Like, point blank period. You know, Romans chapter 5 verse 6 reminds us that when we were helpless, Christ died for us sinners. You know, who does that? Who does that? When I was an enemy of God, he still decided that I was worth something. In verse 10, our friendship with God is restored by the death of his son. While we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. I didn't make it right with God. I didn't apologize. I was his enemy, and yet he still found a way to forgive me. Nobody is ever going to treat you worse than you treated God, is what helps me and reminds me to follow that example of forgiveness that he set for me. You know, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, I love this scripture because it talks about how Paul is like, listen, if you forgive somebody, I'm gonna forgive him. Why? Because in verse 11, it says, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Satan loves to bury us in unforgiveness. And I'm like, Joker, you are not going to outsmart me. And so that as well motivates me to forgive. You know, Matthew 6, verse 14, Jesus talks here. He says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, this was the closer for me and a family member that I had to forgive, because I realized that my unforgiveness was going to keep me from a relationship with God. And how could I let that happen, where somebody else's wrongdoing, where I felt wronged, would interrupt my relationship with God? You know, what I felt from Forrest with Lieutenant Dan is that he understood Lieutenant Dan's issue was not really with Forrest. It was really with his life and the changes that happened. That's what he was angry about. It didn't turn out the way that he thought it would. You know, people have their own journeys that they're walking through. You know, in this book, Fight Like a Girl, the author talks about how, you know, you really can't determine how your story began, but you can determine how it ends. And I love that, because it's a great reminder that there's a wrestling match taking place for how a person's story will end. And sometimes you get caught up in the crossfire. And Lieutenant Dan couldn't see that in the moment. He was just so angry at what was happening, and he didn't know what was going to happen. But I also love in this clip that, you know, Forrest reminds him, you think you were Lieutenant Dan, but you're still Lieutenant Dan. You still have hope. You still have something to fight for. You still have a life to live. You know, it's almost like, you know, binoculars, how you can see far away, but you can't really see what's up close. I love that Forrest got to be that for Lieutenant Dan. And I love that about friendships. Another reason why we need friends, because we can't always, sometimes we see far away, not up close. Sometimes we see up close and not far away, but we need those relationships. You know, forgiveness, I have learned, doesn't have to do with the other person. It really has to do with me and God and whether or not I'm going to trust him. John 15 says, "You are my commands. You are my friends if you do what I command." You know, it's clear that God commands us to forgive. Am I going to be putting that in practice? Am I really God's friend, you know, or am I just a groupie? Okay, you get your choice. You get to be friends and put his scriptures into practice, or you get to be groupie and just hang around him. You know, which one are we going to be? You know, lastly, friendship requires gratitude. So friendship requires love, friendship requires forgiveness, and friendship requires gratitude. And I got to talk about Jenna. Okay, that's how he says it. Jenna, this is his childhood sweetheart, the one who he loves and adores. He said they fit together like peas and carrots. How cute is that, y'all? Peas and carrots. But Jenna was going through a lot. She definitely came from a tough upbringing, and she was looking for love in all the wrong places, man. All the wrong places. But eventually, praise God, she comes back to her senses and realizes that her best friend is Forrest. And let me stop trying to go find what I have right here. And she marries Forrest. They have a son together, and they have a life that she has longed for. Unfortunately, she gets sick and is very ill. And we're going to see one of her last conversations with Forrest as we take a look at this clip.
Hey.
Hey, Forrest. Were you scared in Vietnam?
Yes. Why? I don't know. Sometimes it would stop raining long enough for the stars to come out. And then it was nice. It was like just before the sun goes to bed down on the bayou. Those old million sparkles on the water. Like that mountain lake that was so clear, Jenny. It looked like it would two skies, one on top of the other. And then in the desert, when the sun comes up, I couldn't tell where heaven stopped and the earth began. It was so beautiful.
I wish I could have been there with you.
You were.
I love you.
This is such a special scene between Jenny and Forrest because, you know, she's at the end of her life and, you know, she's hearing about all these great adventures that Forrest has been on. And she says, I wish I would have been there with you. And he says, you were with me, you know, meaning he took her with him. But I know that's not what she meant. She wished she wouldn't have wasted time and had focused on that which was most important. And she had a little bit of regret for the adventures that she missed out on. You know, I think that can happen to us a lot in friendships as well. Like, we miss out on the friendships that help us to be better used, and we look for love in all the wrong places, for lack of a better term. You know, and so we want to make sure that we make the most of those friendships that God encourages us to invest in. You know, earlier this year, we talked about Ruth and Naomi, you know, two people in the Bible who I love and adore. You know, Ruth had lost her husband. Naomi was her mother-in-law and had lost her husband, had lost her son. And Ruth was like, I don't know where you're going. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to stick with you, because she saw something in Naomi that helped her be a better her, and she was going to go for it. And you see that through not just her commitment to Naomi, but her desire to get advice from Naomi and stay close to Naomi and serve Naomi. And so just looking for those relationships that God wants us to invest in and then making a commitment to do so. You know, when Bubba passes on, he passes away right in Forrest's arms. And Forrest makes this comment, you know, Bubba was my best good friend, and even I know that's something you can't find on every corner. Just with this piece of gratitude, being able to not just be grateful for what's right there in front of you, but grateful for the friends that you have, and not always wondering why you don't have more, or why you don't have that friend or that friend or that friend. Like, just being grateful for what you have. You know, the older you get, or the older I get, you know, the smaller my friend circle is. Like, we know a lot of people, but that circle gets smaller. And for me, I'm like, God, help me to be grateful for this small circle. Some people don't have a circle at all. And help me to have peace about my relationships, past, present, and future. You know, they say sometimes you get a friend for a season. You know, sometimes you have a friend for the long haul. But just letting God design the relationships that you have. You know, single folks, can I talk to my single folks? You know, sometimes we got to look at what's right in front of us, okay? We chasing after everybody else or everything else or what we feel like we should have. But you want to end up with your friend. You want to end up with your best friend, the one that makes you better. Not just the one you have fun with, not just the one who checks off the boxes on somebody else's list or on your list. Like you want to have a friend as the one you marry. And husbands and wives, you know this. And so we got to, in the same token, be grateful for our friends. Sometimes we real grateful for them on the day we get married to them, but then we kind of, you know, can lose that gratitude. So we got to be that typewriter that comes back up to just remembering to be grateful for our relationships. You know, last year or this year, we started our gratitude list, and our goal was to get to 1,000 gifts by the end of the year. I just hit 1,400 gifts, y'all. I'm like super shocked. And what I realized as I was looking back over them is there's a theme and a pattern with them. You know, I wrote some of them down. 124, girls comforting daddy as he cries out to God. These are my gifts. Number 130, hearing my husband's gifts as he was sharing his journal with me. Number 146, friends that are doctors, you know, that I can call when I get sick. 301, news of a friend's pregnancy. 685, hearing my friend tell me she'd been praying for me to not feel overwhelmed, and then I wasn't overwhelmed. A lot of my gifts are about relationships that are close to me. You know, these are the gifts that I want to make sure I hold dear. And these are the ones I don't want to miss out on, you know, because I'm over here caught up in my mess. You know, just to close out, I think, you know, back to Mama, because, you know, she was a staple in Forrest's life, you know, that she has that whole, probably the line that the movie is known for. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I love that because in life, we don't know what we're going to get. We don't know what experiences we're going to have. We don't know what experiences other people are going to have, you know, but we do get to decide who we're going to be when we open up that box of chocolates. We do get to decide what we're going to do, how we're going to respond in different situations. And so that's my challenge, that in friendship, it is a risk. You don't know what you're going to get. But let's make a commitment to love. Let's make a commitment to forgive. Let's make a commitment to be grateful, you know, in the same way that God did with us. You know, when he opened up his box of chocolates, some of, you know, his chocolates were bitter and nasty. You know, he didn't always get the prime chocolates, but he made a decision to send his son to die for us. He made a decision to love and be committed to us. And so if we want to have those healthy relationships, those friendships, we are going to have to follow the example of our bestest friend, God. So let me go ahead and pray, and we'll have some time for communion. Father God, thank you so much for your friendship, God. We are so undeserving of your friendship, God. We are so undeserving of your love, of your forgiveness, God. And thank you for the ways that you constantly show us how grateful you are for us, God. I pray that in this moment, we can just reflect on your love, God. I pray that you will help us to be committed to that love, God. And as a result of that, that it will overflow into our relationships, God. Help us to love you. Help us to learn what it means to love others, God. Help us to love ourselves, God, and to see areas where we need to be grateful for ourselves or forgive or to love ourselves, God. We need you desperately, God. And we just pray that that you'll be with us in this time as we get to reflect. We love you so much. It's in your awesome name we always love to pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.